So with the Word of God open at 1 Kings and chapter 17, we'll commence our reading at the first verse. And the Word of God says there, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Amen, and we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his inspired and infallible word to us. Amen. Well, can you turn once again, please, with me to that chapter we read earlier, to 1 Kings and to chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm sure it's a very familiar passage to us. There's some very interesting characters in this chapter. But before we come to the message that the Lord's laid upon my heart, perhaps we can stand to our feet as we pray before the Word of God. So let's all stand and bow our hearts in prayer before the Lord. Our Lord and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee afresh this evening that we have Thy inspired and infallible Word in our hands and in our possessions. Oh, how often we take it for granted that we have the very Word of the living God in our hands. But Lord, we pray that Thou would even open up Thy Word to us this evening. Oh, may we not hear the voice of man, but may the voice of God be heard in this meeting this evening. Oh, we pray for Thy presence to be felt very really and very powerfully with us. Oh, we pray for that convicting power to even come down, even on some soul which does not yet know Thee as their own and personal Saviour. May they even see that they're heading towards a lost eternity. And may they even see Christ lifted up and high on that cross at Calvary. Oh, Lord, we do pray that Thou wouldst bless the word that would be brought before the people this evening. I pray Thou wouldst give me help as I would declare Thy word. But we pray that Thou wouldst give help to the hearer as well as to the speaker. May there be that understanding heart, that hearing ear. And may we even go away blessed, knowing that we have met with Thee. Come down before us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may take your seats once again. 10,250,000. Now, if I was to say those numbers, I'm sure there's more than one or two people here who think those are very big numbers, and I can't even begin to fathom the size of those numbers. What are they speaking of? 10 million, 250 million. You might think it's a population of a country. Maybe it's a distance to some planet in the solar system. But if I said to you, as a clue, it's to do with food, I wonder, would you have any guesses now? Well, if I was to say that over this Christmas period, 10 million turkeys were consumed, and up to 250 million roast potatoes were consumed, perhaps that enlightens you a bit more. I'll not say how many I've eaten, but I probably had too many. That's something that I enjoyed over this past week or two. I enjoy my Christmas dinner. But you know, something that we often don't think about is the food that we consume. We take it for granted that there will be food on the table. Especially at this time of year, food is something at the forefront of our thoughts. We always go round to our friends and families, and we always ask them, what's going to be for food? Do you need me to bring something for dinner or for dessert? How much are you going to need? How many days can we stomach eating turkey in a row? These are all questions that we ask at this time of year, and it's all to do with that topic of food. You know, we are blessed in this country because we have so much of it. Day goes by and we never think, what will I have on my table at the end of the day? It's one of those blessings which we never stop to think, well, you know, I am blessed because I have food on my table day by day. There's not a day when I have to think, what am I going to eat? Can I afford to eat all of that food? It's something which we shouldn't take for granted, but we should thank the Lord for. However, this was not the case for Elijah. For we have read in this chapter 17 of the first book of Kings how food was something very much on the mind of the prophet Elijah. The history of Elijah begins somewhat abruptly. In the first verse, that's the first mention of him in all of Holy Scripture. And he just appears seemingly out of nowhere. And he comes to King Ahab and he says, there's going to be a drought in the land for 3.5 years. 3.5 years where no rain falls from heaven. 3.5 years where there will be a scarcity of food in the land. And then just as suddenly in verse 2, Elijah is told by the Lord, get thee away into the wilderness, go to the brook Cherith, and there I will care for thee. And so he goes there, and I'm sure even the children who are in tonight, they'd be able to tell us what happened there at the brook Cherith. The Lord sent the ravens day and day and day, day and night, bringing him flesh and bread for Elijah to eat. There was the fresh water that he could drink, flowing day by day. The Lord cared for all the needs of Elijah. Until one day. One day we read there in verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Even that little piece of land where Elijah was cared for, that water dried up. There is no more water for Elijah. The ravens stopped coming and bringing him food. And then he was sent to Zarephath. Zarephath is a city in Zidon. It's not in Israel. It's another nation beside Israel. And this is where the Lord told Elijah to go. Get thee to Zarephath, a city of Zidon. And there the Lord promised a widow woman would sustain for thee. Now Zarephath, that name of itself, it has great importance and great meaning. Zarephath means literally a place of smelting or a place of refining. Zarephath was a city which was famous for refining of metals. Now the most common thought that we would think of when we say refining metals would be gold. Gold is put through the refiner's fire. It's tried to remove all the impurities out of the metal. Indeed, this place, Zarephath, from the root word that comes from that name, that is where we get the word crucible. And a crucible is an implement that is used in the refining process of metals. Elijah was sent to the place of refining. And it is in this place where there are two people in particular who had a trying experience in Zarephath. There was Elijah the prophet who was sent there to be tried of God. And then there was this widow woman of Zarephath who was also tried by Elijah. And here in this account in 1 Kings chapter 17, we have a wonderful account of the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God brought this woman to meet Elijah at the point of her need. Oh, there she was. She was suffering in this place. There was this famine. And yet Elijah was sent to her. You know, it says there in verse 9, it says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, take note, Elijah, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." There's the sovereignty of God. You're going outside of Israel. You're going to this place of Zarephath, but yet I will provide for thee. You know, no sooner had he arrived there at the entrance in verse 10, but what did he see? He saw that widow woman. There she was in the sovereignty of God, right where she needed to be, right where Elijah needed her to be, right where that woman needed to be. You know, Elijah could have been sent to any number of widows in Israel. The Savior said as much to his disciples in Luke chapter 4 and the verses 25 and 26. Listen to these words in Luke chapter 4. The Lord says, "I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." Oh, Elijah was sent for a purpose. Here was this woman who the Lord said, "Elijah, you have to go there because of her." Friend, do not think you're here tonight by chance. Do not think that you're here by any just mere matter of occurrence. You're here for a purpose. The Lord would have you here for a reason and a purpose tonight. The Lord has drawn you here sovereignly by his own power for a reason. To hear his word. To hear a wonderful message about grace and mercy as shown to us in the life of this woman of Zarephath. Here's a woman. She's unknown by name. Seemingly insignificant to all around her. She's just a poor widow woman. Who would notice her? Perhaps you feel like that yourself. I'm a nobody. Who would notice me? And yet the Lord has you here tonight. The Lord has drawn you here in his mercy to hear the gospel once again. Oh, you know, this woman, it provides a wonderful picture for us of how the sinner is chosen sovereignly by God and saved from their poor and doomed state. And I want you to consider with me tonight this woman and draw some lessons on how she went from starvation to salvation. There she was starving, but then she was wonderfully saved. And first of all, I want you to notice with me that this woman was stricken by a famine. Now that might seem somewhat obvious to say. There she was living in a land struck by a drought. There was no food in the land. Oh, that seems obvious. She was stricken by a famine, and yet she was feeling the effects of this famine in a very real and a very pronounced way. This widow woman, she was no different to all the other inhabitants of Zarephath. She was no different to all the other inhabitants of Israel because she was affected by this famine. This famine was all-encompassing. It was universal. Every single person in that city, every single person in that country was affected by its effects. Does that not make us think of sin? All are affected by it. No one is immune from the effects of sin and the famine it causes within the soul. There is a want of something in the soul. Did you know that? If you are living without Christ, you are missing something. You are missing salvation. You're missing reconciliation with God. Oh, your soul is famished tonight. None are immune to it. None are unaffected by it. Well, if we consider this situation here in 1 Kings and this famine that was in Zarephath and in Israel and all around, we can see that quite clearly. It doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how poor you are. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are from. All are affected by it. If you turn just over to the next chapter in 1 Kings in chapter 18 and look at the verse 5, we see there, King Ahab, the king of Israel, the most powerful and wealthy man in all of Israel, and yet he was affected by it. For in 1 Kings 18 and verse 5 it says, "And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts." Well, there he was sending his servants, "Find grass for my animals, they're dying. I don't want to lose my animals because they're affected by this famine." The most powerful man, the richest man, the man of highest position, he was affected by it. Then at the other end of the spectrum in 1 Kings 17, we have this poor widow woman. There she was, she had lost her husband. She had no money. She had very little food left. She was a Gentile outside of the nation of Israel, outside of the covenant people of God. She was affected by it too. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are. You are affected by sin. Or, you know, while this woman, she feared heading towards a physical death, yet can we not also think of heading towards a spiritual death, which is far worse? Oh, it's appointed unto man once to die. All of us die. And what's that verse say then? And then the judgment. How is it with your soul? Will your soul have that everlasting life, or will it be judged forever in hell? Or, you know, notice something of the condition or state that this woman found herself in as a result of this famine. Firstly, see, she was in a state of distress because of the famine. In verse 12, it says there, "And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake." Now, she's not speaking of something that we would enjoy. It's not a Victoria sponge or a chocolate cake. It's not that kind of food. It is simply the most basic kind of bread. It's the most simple, basic kind of food that anyone would have had in their house in these times. She did not even have that. If we were to cast our minds forward into the New Testament and the feeding of the 5,000, what did that young lad bring? He brought 5 barley loaves. Barley loaves, the most simple kind of bread that you could find. That's all he had. Well, this woman is off even worse. She says, "I don't even have that. I do not have a cake. I do not have even the smallest thing to satisfy my hunger. I have nothing whereby I can quench or quell this hunger of mine." Oh, what a distressing situation for her. She had nothing, or next to nothing, really. The food supply had almost run out. There would be no more food after that day. Could we not think of the parable of the prodigal son? Again, I'm sure many of us know that parable well. There was the son gone off into the far-off land, spent all of the money, and then he found himself wishing he could eat of the husks that the pigs were fed from. And what does he say? "I perish of hunger." He was in a distressed situation because he had no food. Or there was nothing left to his own reason whereby he could think, "Where can I get food? I am so distressed, I would eat the food that the pigs eat." Or, you know, if you do not know Christ as your own personal Savior, you're in a similar situation spiritually. You're in a very distressing situation because you have no prospect of eternity. Solomon, that man who was extremely wise, perhaps wiser than any man who has ever lived, he says in Proverbs 19 and verse 15, "An idle soul shall suffer hunger." And really that phrase, suffer hunger, it can actually literally be translated perish. An idle soul shall perish. So there, can you not see there's a link between hunger and perishing? If your soul is hungering tonight, and that hunger is not satisfied, that soul will perish. An idle soul? I wonder, are you idle about the affairs of your soul? Because if you are, there it says, the idle soul shall perish. She was in a state of distress, but also she was in a state of despair. Again, look at verse 12 and the latter part of that verse. She says there to the prophet Elijah, "And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son." And note these words, "that we may eat it and die." There she was. She was in a state of despair. There's nothing I can do. I'm just going to die. I have no hope in this world. There's nothing left to live for. I'm just going to my home so I can die with my son. Oh, she felt there was only one outcome. She felt there's only one way I can go, and that is to the grave. There's no hope of life. There's no hope of being saved from this state. I wonder, do you think like that today? Do you think, I could not possibly be saved from my sins? I couldn't possibly gain eternal life. I've done too much wickedness. I have sinned so much, I cannot be saved. Oh, do not think like that, friend. The Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, he said there, I am the bread of life. There's no reason to be in a state of despair, for he is willing to save you from your sins. But notice also she was in a state of defiance. Again in verse 12, this time at the beginning. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Oh, she didn't claim him to be her God. She says, as thy God liveth. Oh, he's not my God. But as thy God liveth, I have nothing to live with. I have no sustenance for my body. She didn't believe on God that he could bring her out of this situation. Oh, she did well in knowing the name of God. The Lord God, she knew enough to say that. She must be commended for saying he's the living God. But you know, a knowledge of God is not the same as knowing God. You know, you might have been coming to this church for year after year. You may know things about God. You may know his name. You may know even that he is the real, true, living God. But do you know him as your own personal Savior? There's a great difference between knowing about him and knowing him personally. This woman, she said, oh, he's thy God. She had her eyes upon the barrel and the cruse instead of God. Perhaps you have your eyes upon yourself or your own works instead of Christ and the cross. Or will you not lift up your eyes and see Christ only tonight? Will you not lift up your eyes and see the one who died for your sins on the cross? What does the Word of God say? It says, the just shall live by faith. It's not the just shall live by their good works, but the just shall live by faith. In who? In God, the one and true living God. And really that leads us in to the secondly. Notice, this woman was saved by her faith. Now that might seem somewhat contradictory to what I've already said there. I said she didn't believe on God as her God, but there's a remarkable change in this passage. For in verse 12, we've seen there she says he is Elijah's God. She doesn't claim him to be hers. But yet, there is a remarkable change as we go down these verses, and we see that she does indeed put her faith and trust in the Word of God. And isn't this marvelous? Despite her poor condition, despite suffering in a famine, despite all of her struggles and problems, yet the Lord had mercy on her. In wrath, remember mercy. Do we not often hear that prayed in our prayer meetings? Well, here is an example of that in Scripture. There she was in that famine, outside of Israel. And yet the Lord had mercy upon her in sending his servant Elijah unto her. Well, you know, there was nothing between this woman and death, it would seem. She only had a little bit of food left. But then in verse 14, Elijah gives her a great and a wonderful promise. For in verse 14, Elijah tells her, "The Lord has a word for thee." For look there at verse 14. Elijah says to this woman, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Oh, here we see Elijah again. He reiterates the name of the Almighty. But he adds to what the woman had said. She had said, "The Lord God." Elijah says, "The Lord God of Israel." Why does he do this? Well, one, he's reminding her that she's a Gentile. This is the God of Israel. This is the God who has delivered his chosen people and has been merciful unto them. I'm sure she would have heard of all of the things which had happened in the countries round about throughout all of the years that had passed. I'm sure she would have heard of this God who had brought his people out of Egypt. I'm sure she would have heard of this God who had delivered them from their enemies. I'm sure she would have heard of this God who had defeated their enemies. And Elijah said to her, "This is the God that promises to you. This is the God who keeps his promises. This is the God whose promises never fail. And he's given you a promise today. He's promising that he will provide for your need. He is promising to you that you will not die. You have said, 'Oh, I'm going to die.' But he's promising you life. Oh, friend, the Lord promises you eternal life tonight. The Lord promises you salvation from your sins. But to be saved, you need one thing. You need faith." And this woman, she was saved by her faith. Because look at verse 15. There's a very simple phrase which shows us her wonderful faith. Because in verse 15 it reads, "And she went and did according to the word," or "according to the saying of Elijah." Very simple words. But this shows us her faith. There she was, she'd been in that state of distress, that state of despair, and yet she just goes and does according to the word of Elijah. But note, it's not just Elijah's word that she believes. It's the word of God she puts her trust in. Because Elijah's promise in verse 14 is, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says to you." It's not my words. I'm giving you the words of the Lord God of Israel. "Your cruse of oil will not fail. Your barrel of meal shall not waste. Go and make that bread as I have asked." That's the word she put her trust in. You cannot put your trust in man's word. You cannot put your trust in my word. But you can put your trust in the living word of God. You can put your trust on that word which God has given to us, which is able to show us the way of salvation. And that's what this woman of Zarephath did. She believed what Elijah had told her as being the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But notice from the actions of this woman that saving faith and obedience to the word of God, it consists of three things. Firstly, see that it should be immediate. When we hear the word of God, we are to act upon it instantly. We're not to wait and to say, "Now for another time." Can we not think of the likes of King Agrippa and Felix? All of these men, they heard the Apostle Paul and they were like, "Well, leave it for a convenience season." No, it's to be instant. We're not to say, "I'll leave it for another time," because we know not what a day may bring forth. You might go through those doors tonight and you might not see tomorrow. That's the truth. You do not know what a day may bring forth. So you cannot say another time. But you need to immediately obey the word of God. Think of this woman. She was in a desperate situation. Her food was almost run out. She had nothing left to eat. She had to obey immediately. Because there was nothing else for her to do. Or she was going to die. Do you not understand that your soul goes to one of two places? It goes to either heaven or to hell. If you do nothing tonight, you may end up in hell. Will you not immediately obey the word of God? Even where you are sitting right now, will you not pray that he would forgive you of your sins, that you may have everlasting life? But also notice it involves sacrifice. This woman's faith, it was proved to be genuine by her works. Now we know that faith does not depend on works in terms of being saved, but our faith is dead without works. And this woman's faith was shown to be true because she went and did. Do you notice that word there, did, is a very simple word? She went and did. Now, you could say it would have been very good to have said, and she believed, and she did. But this is evidence because the word of God says she went and did, according to the saying of Elijah. She did something about it. She didn't sit there idle, but she obeyed it and she went and did. And what did she do? But she sacrificed what she had for the Lord. She gave everything that she had, and all she had was that small bit of meal in the barrel. And she gave it to the Lord because she believed that the Lord was able to give her much more. I wonder, do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that the Lord can give you something so great and so marvelous? What is it? The forgiveness of sins. It's far greater than any possession you can have here on earth. But what do you need to sacrifice? Perhaps you've been thinking, I would love to be saved. I would love to know my sins forgiven, but I just can't give up these things in my life. You need to give up those things which are contrary to the word of God. Give up those things which keep you from believing. Give up those things of the world. These are the things you must sacrifice, friend. All those things which are sinful and wicked in the sight of a holy God. Or could we not think of that man in Mark chapter 10? He came to the Lord and he said, I have kept all the law from my youth. What do I need to do to have eternal life? And what did the Lord say to him? He said, sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. What was his response? He went away grieved. He was too proud to sacrifice what he had for the Lord. Oh, don't let that be your story. But give your all to him, and he will give you so much more back. It must be immediate, there must be sacrifice, but also notice it must be founded on the promises of God. Saving faith is founded on the promises of God. The Lord has promised to us in his word that if we believe, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a promise. I wonder, have you taken that promise? Do you believe that he is faithful and true to forgive you your sins? Do you believe that the promises of God in him are yea and in him are amen? Do you believe that he is the covenant-keeping God, that he will keep his word and he can save you from your sins? Why won't you come to him tonight? Why won't you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your own and personal Savior? What is keeping you from coming to Christ? Oh, he's promised in his word, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, what more do you need to hear? Cling to these promises. Pray these promises, and he will save you from your sins. But finally, and very briefly, I want you to see, not only was this woman stricken by a famine, not only was she saved by her faith, but this woman was satisfied by her food. Have a look with me there in verse 16. It says there, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Oh, isn't that marvelous? There we had in verse 14 the promise, and here we have the fulfillment of that promise in verse 16. This woman believed in the promise of God, and oh, she found out that the Lord marvelously answers his promises. Oh, she didn't just receive a little. She received everything she could need. Everything she could need for sustenance she received of the Lord. Her food did not run out. Her food did not end that day. She did not die, but she was able to live because of the grace and the mercy of God. Oh, what was she asked to give? Just one small cake. What did she receive? Food for up to 2 years, until the Lord sent rain again to that land. Do you not see? All you have to give is your sin. What can you receive tonight? Sins forgiven, peace with God, a home in heaven. Are those things not far greater than what you have in your life? Or you can be satisfied with what the Lord can give you. Oh, she got not just what she desired, but she got what she required. She needed this food. You need your sins forgiven, because if your sins are not forgiven, you will perish in hell. You need your sins forgiven, friend. Oh, the Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is willing to forgive you of your sins. Oh, listen to the words of the Savior. I'm sure you know these words very well. On the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 6, what does he say? He says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." He doesn't say, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they shall have some," or "they shall have some for a season," or "perhaps they will have some food." No, he says, "they shall be filled." And you know something that's interesting? That word "filled," it actually means satisfied. They shall be satisfied with their food. Oh, friend, if you come to Christ, you'll be satisfied with him. You'll be satisfied with the righteousness of Christ, because it is perfect. It is all sufficient. There is nothing more you could need in your life apart from the grace of God and forgiveness of sin. Oh, those who seek after Christ, those who seek after the kingdom of God, they shall be satisfied because it is perfect. Because it is all sufficient. You won't want to look for any other form of righteousness. You won't want to look for any other thing to satisfy your soul, because it is enough. That Jesus died, and that he died for me. I wonder, can you say that tonight? Do you understand why Christ went to the cross at Calvary? What were those words he said when he hung there on that cross? He said, "It is finished." Therefore, you can be satisfied with the work of Christ, because there is no more to be paid. The sacrifice has been paid for you and for your sins. You know, perhaps you have many concerns. I'm sure this woman in Zarephath, she had many concerns. She was in the midst of a famine. She thought, "I'm going to die here." And yet, she got a wonderful answer. She was satisfied with her food. And so is the Lord Jesus Christ to those who believe upon him. Because you can be satisfied day by day by day by the grace of God. Or the words of John 1 and verse 16 says, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Well, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, day by day you can receive grace for grace. Grace for every day. Grace for every trial. Grace for every difficulty. Oh, there's great satisfaction to be had in that. Great satisfaction to be found in the grace of Christ. This widow woman, she wasn't disappointed with her food. She wasn't disappointed with all that she had. The Lord will not disappoint you. The Lord cannot and will never disappoint you. Oh, if you're still unbelieving, friend, why? Why do you not believe in Christ? Why will you not come to him tonight? Why are you still in that state of defiance and saying, "He is your God, he's not mine"? Will you not come to Christ tonight? Oh, we've already quoted it. In John 6 and verse 35, he says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Do you not see the satisfaction to be had in Christ there? If you come to Christ and believe in him, you shall never hunger. You shall never thirst. Never. Never, never. Christ gives those who are dead in trespasses and sin life. Just like this widow woman, she was saved from death and she was saved for life. You too can be saved from death. That death in hell. You can receive eternal, everlasting life from God. All you have to do is be like this woman and believe the word of God and you shall be saved. Well, this woman, she was famished. But praise the Lord, she was filled. And you too can be filled tonight with the love of God. Oh, if we could cast our minds again to the feeding of the 5,000, this is a wonderful parallel almost with the thought of food and being filled. What was said of those who partook of those 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes? It says, and they did all eat, and they were filled. They wanted no more. They received all they needed from Christ. And you can receive all you need from Christ tonight as well. You can be satisfied too if you just repent of your sins. If you seek forgiveness from Christ tonight, you can be satisfied with Him. Well, what does the living God say to you tonight? He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Well, will you not heed that call tonight, friend? Will you not repent of your sins? Will you not sacrifice those things in your life that are keeping you from him? Because you too can be satisfied with your food. May the Lord bless the word to your hearts tonight. May we even go away thinking upon what we have heard, thinking upon how we can be wonderfully satisfied with Christ and wonderfully saved from starvation. Amen.